I love her. I love her very much. I've never had a feeling like
shut
this.
Up.
And speaking of love, weren't you and I going to talk about that today?
Yes, we were.
But, well, couldn't you manage to arrange your time so you could have a little fun, too?
The thing that I was going to say about Taika was we agree that Taika's, like, hot, right?
Oh, yeah, objectively, yes.
Yes.
And, you would, I mean, and he's funny, so he's kind of, like,
he's extra.
Kryptonite.
Because he has, like, a really, like, good square jaw, like, a like good face
no,
bone
no,
structure.
No, like, that's the thing. Sometimes guys who are funny, you're like, just people in general, they're funny, and you're like, oh, they're more attractive because they're funny. He is objectively, even without the funny, very attractive.
Yeah.
He's got the kind of, like, silver fox thing going, a little scruff.
Ugh,
oof.
Ugh.
It's a lot.
So.
Syncretion right off the bat.
So I was talking, and I had, like, referenced Taika being, like, hot.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, would you say he's hot? And I did, like, the thing where a person did at dinner and put down their fork and was like, what do you mean?
You slow. What are you getting at? Huh?
I was like, yeah, very much so hot. Like, very hot. And he's like, I wouldn't say he's, like, hot. I think he's, like,
well, no one's
cute.
Asking you.
And I was just like, how? And
like,
I kept pulling up photos of him being like, look at this. How can you say not hot?
Is it just that he's never thought of him as hot because he's so funny?
I think we have different tastes, like, in men. I think he would choose another man to say
he did choose
hot.
Jake.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, he did choose Jake.
But I just couldn't get over
Alabama, which was the wrong choice, by the way.
It was the wrong... Bro, like, Patrick Dempsey is in that equation.
We literally can't let go of this. Patrick and his little brother, Shortrick. Shortrick hangs around in the summer.
Oh, man. Anyways.
But we literally lost the plot so hard. Oh my god, I'm crying tiny tears. Okay. Should we get into it?
I was just trying to think because, like, in the first one, we were really simping over Paul Walker and Freddie Prinze Jr. And then in the second one, we really were, could not let go of Patrick Dempsey.
Mm-hmm.
In the third one, less so about Tom Hanks, because I don't think it's, like, peak Tom Hanks, but I still, like, love any era Tom Hanks.
He's got call the bombulance. He's got curly, cute hair. It's, like, cute, yeah. He's got, like, the big jacket, because it's the 90s. It's, like, cute.
Yeah.
It's cute.
Big beige pants. But no, I'm really glad... To me, I'm very glad that you agree with me about Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
Because
I feel like we have very similar taste in a lot of things, and also celebrity men just happens to be one of them. So
so many celebrity men. And, like, the specificity of some of the things that we talk about with these celebrity men. Another one that I wanted to talk to you about was Sebastian Stan.
Yeah, I like him.
Because I saw... I saw, before getting on the call with you, like, hours ago, which is very funny. I saw a TikTok where some girl had, like, just pulled up photos of him, and I was like, oh my god.
Literally, okay, half of my TikTok feed is just, like, fan cam edits. Song that's like, with, like, slow-mo videos of, like, close-up where their eyes are, like, sparkling and shining and their heads turning slowly. I'm like, what is happening? I'm not mad at it, but it's like, yes, okay, but I just woke, it's 8 a.m. and I'm looking at this fan, I'm looking at Tom Holland kind of, like, turning in slow motion while being spritzed with water. Like, what, I didn't ask for this.
Literally going on TikTok at, like, 8 a.m., like, right when you wake up, because obviously, like, what kind of person doesn't look at their phone the second they wake up. The people who do that, like, please teach me your ways, but don't tell me the things about putting your phone across the room. It's what I use for my alarm clock. And anybody who's like, get an actual alarm clock. Bro, I've turned off my phone alarms in my sleep. So I have 7 of them set all the time. Give me better solutions.
Yeah, work smarter, not harder at this wake up business. Yeah. So far, we're all still sleeping. Should we do a really quick land acknowledgement?
Before
we dive into it?
Yes, we should. We'd like to acknowledge that the recording of this podcast takes place both in the region of Peel, which is part of the treaty lands and territory of the Mississaugas of the Credit,
and Ottawa, which was built on unceded Anishinaabe-Algonquin Nation territory.
Cool. We did it. Forget.
Yay.
Yay.
I was trying to think, like, who's... while you're pulling it up, I'm going to, like, go through my TikTok and see, like, what's the simp, the flavor of today's simp.
Have you watched
simp of the day, like, Winter Soldier?
Oh my god.
Not yet. I'm saving it because I still haven't finished WandaVision. I have 2 episodes of WandaVision left.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Okay.
I will tell you, it's so hard for me to watch it every week.
So I've been getting a stupid amount of Henry Cavill, which is a no-brainer. And honestly, you don't need to sell Henry Cavill to anyone.
I sent you one that I came across recently where it's just clips of him driving in the desert or something.
Yes. And yes. He is long. You sent that to me and then it also came across my feed and I was like, this is painful for me to watch twice.
It's too much. The little scarf
tied around his neck and he's got like a little tilly hat on.
Uh-uh. And he's like tanned and at one point he was drinking water. No.
At first he was just sitting there, but then he started drinking water and then that was really, really the end.
And then it really pushed me over the edge. It really did.
He was being really flirtatious with the way he was consuming.
He was water hydrating to survive. Himself.
Yeah. Oh, weirdly, a lot of Oscar Isaac.
Oh,
across my feet.
A gift?
Oscar Isaac. So I guess like maybe every time I talk about Star Wars, my phone hears me and it just sends me a bunch of like John Boyega and Oscar Isaac content, which I'm so happy about. I love John Boyega too.
Oscar Isaac, John Boyega. On mine, it's a lot of, I get a lot of Jewish men.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm nothing if not an Asian woman. It is my brand. Henry Cavill is on there.
Whomst in particular?
Oh, Andy Samberg.
Yeah.
John Mulaney, but he doesn't count because he's Catholic.
I've been getting a lot of Seth Meyers recently.
Oh!
But not like, just like clips of him being funny with other people, which I like, of course.
Someone just has to say Seth Meyers' name and I...
You just pictured him and you were just had a moment.
Oh god, it's a big brain.
Oh my god, you'll Adam Driver. Duh. Pedro Pascal, Adam Driver, all the Star Wars men.
Yeah.
All the Star Wars men. But particularly Adam Driver. I'm a fan. So, people, welcome to VomCom, the podcast where we talk about rom-coms that we love to hate.
And hate to love.
Smashed it.
Amazing, even though I was far away. But anyways, welcome to episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, it's all happening.
Our empire.
Episode 4. We've had 3 episodes come out.
The way you said 3 just now. So funny.
The math, I don't know why.
Just emphasized it so much.
I don't know what. I just got so mad at myself for like, I'm like, this is episode 4. We've had 3 come out. Like, just mansplaining numbers. Womansplaining numbers.
No. Cat. This is a safe space. Okay. You're okay. You explain all you want.
I'm attacking myself. So we've had 3 episodes come out. They've been doing well. People have liked them. Thank you to everybody who listens.
Yeah, thank you. It's much appreciated. Bi-weekly
basis. Yeah, it's much appreciated. You were going to say something earlier about the Instagram post that you posted, I think, about the You've Got Mail part.
Oh, yeah, because I was... So I posted the photo that was, like, the setup versus the shot.
Yeah.
And so you can see Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan and Nora Ephron in it. Mm-hmm. And if you guys want to see the photo, just go to our Instagram. It's at VomCom Podcast. And the outfit that Nora Ephron is wearing is very much like something that Meg Ryan would wear in the movie. And then I started like comparing Nora Ephron's style to like her character's style, and I was like, oh, it's a self-insert. It's just her style. I was like, dope. That's what I would do.
I think like the wardrobe. Oh yeah, just big pants. I also
low key love the fit. It's like the high waisted like trouser moment with a classic white blouse.
Yeah,
it's a very
moment. Yeah, the only difference now to make it modern would be to make the white shirt a tiny bit more fitted, or make like the collars,
or more oversized, like full
or more full oversized. But yeah, like the tiniest woman.
Yes, and also the pant would be a wide leg.
I've worn this outfit with black pants. Not really. I had a job once, the only other job I've ever had, where I was wearing like brown khakis.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Never again, dude. It's not a look I can pull off. The brown khaki pants.
It just says like mall phone kiosk employee.
Yep.
Or substitute teacher.
Yeah. How is your week been? I know you're doing some renovations in your house.
Oh my God.
Minor renovations.
Absolutely smashing. It's been really fun. I've been very invigorated this whole week, just working. But then, like, in my downtime, I've been refreshing basically the entire main floor of my house.
Amazing.
To just give it some new life, you know, breathe some new life into it. I started by spring cleaning, and it really escalated. So
yeah.
So I started cleaning, and then I was like, why don't I move this, and why don't I take out this, and why don't I take out all the dishes from the kitchen that I don't use and put them in the basement storage, and why don't I add a plant, and why don't I paint? And you know what? If I'm painting the kitchen, I might as well paint the dining room. And you know what? You know, the living room looks a bit drab. It could use a fresh coat of paint. Why don't I buy a new rug? Da-da-da. Did this and that and the other. And before you know it, I've got a Pinterest board, and the entire rest of my month is taken up, basically. But it's really good. I've been finding a lot of joy in it, and there's a specific type of like satisfaction and joy that I get, and I think you get as well, from not only accomplishing a task in a day, like checking it off your to-do list, but when that task has something to do with cleansing or clearing out a space so that when you look at it at the end, it's tidy and clean and like just how you want it, and it hasn't been that way for a long time and you've been putting it off, you're just like,
yeah,
yes. So that has been like kind of my whole week. I've just been checking things off my list, refreshing. The kitchen's basically done, and then so this weekend me and my sister are going to be doing the living room.
Nice.
I'm and very I said excited. My sister, because the people who are listening might not know who she is, so that was the only reason. I saw you like the look in your eyes, and she's like, why is she saying it like that? I didn't know. I just wanted to be clear. Her name is Amy. I have a sweet sister named Amy. Hey Amy, if you're listening.
Hi Amy, if you're listening, you better fucking be, bitch.
Amy, please. We need the metrics.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see all of your changes, because I have seen your house and have loved what you've done, but I cannot wait to see what else you will do.
This is a great ringing endorsement. Thank you, Catherine. How about you? How's your week?
My week's okay. Feels a little bit like a blur. I'm trying to remember what I did. What was yesterday? Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
On Wednesday, sweet baby Jason from the You Should Check Out podcast is back in Ontario at his parents' house, so I got to go up and see him, so that was very nice. We had fish and chips outside in his backyard, and that was very good. One fish and chips place was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You've had good luck
with fish and chips lately, huh?
Yeah, because when we saw each other in Muskoka and Deerhurst, the fish and chips there were choice. And unreal. Then this time, literally down the street, so good. They're called, I think, if anybody goes to Orangeville, go to East Coast Fish and Chips. Lovely people, adorable. Gave us a million condiments.
Are they from the East Coast?
Possibly. We didn't stick around in the store because we wanted to get out of the way in case people wanted to, like, come inside and order.
Natch. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but still, very good fish and chips. So saw Jason, got to speak to him, hung out with him for a long time, met his lovely Chihuahua dog, who at one point, he was so afraid of me, as Chihuahuas naturally are. And then at one point, like, I think this was after Jason had said I could give him, like, a little piece of fish. He kept looking at me, but I was like, oh, I don't think I can give you more fish. And then I was just talking to Jace, and then all of a sudden, Pico, like, jumps up into my lap, like, unprompted.
Oh, my God. You were chosen.
And I was fully shook at that point, and just, like, immediately stopped talking and forgot everything I was talking about. So that's pretty much what's happened this week. And then I've also been, I tidied my room a little bit, so I have that, like, little bit of accomplishment. It's not perfect, but I also have not really had the time. And then I've just been watching a lot of Flight of the Conchords, which I've spoken to you about it. I just love it. And I wish there were more than just two seasons, but
there are so many. That show, there's so many moments that have just been, like, embedded in my subconscious and brain, just, like, permanently, like, tattooed on my brain, because me and my friend Annie in high school were obsessed and would, like, watch all the clips on YouTube and watch the episodes and, like, just sing the songs. You know how kids in high school are want to do. Yeah. You sing the comedy songs, whatever, but they're, like, they're so, like, the fact that some people haven't seen the show or haven't, like, memorized the songs is so foreign to me because of how, like, intensely I was into the show.
And, like, looking back and watching the show, you can really see the impact they had on, like, comedy for, like, people our age, because so many of those jokes and so much of that, like, energy and kind of, like, very, like, quiet, deadpan, not broad but also insanely absurd, just is, like, meme culture, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the beginning.
I feel
of,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, you're onto something there. It's something about, like, they definitely had a huge impact, and their particular brand of comedy, like, I feel like it trickled out, like, from everyone watching that show, that everyone kind of picked that up as, like, part of the cultural understanding of, like, this is what's funny now, this is hot now, you know?
And literally with only, like, two seasons and not even full, like, 20 plus episodes, it's, like, one season is 13 episodes, you know? It's not like The Office where it was on for 10 years and had, like, 20 plus episode seasons, you know? So, yeah, that's, I'm just, like, really, and when I, like, watch a thing, that's all I'm thinking about, it's all I'm obsessed with. So I'm just, like, looking up their interviews, and I need to have all of the things Flight of the Conchords. But anyways, this is a very long conversation about Flight of the Conchords.
Right, let's get into the actual topic.
Let's get into the actual movie that we're here to discuss, Molly, which film?
It is Clueless from 1995.
1995?
Oh, as if. Yeah, 1995.
Oh my God, I thought it was 19.
The director is Amy Heckerling, who, fun fact, is also the director of the entire, of the Fast Times at Ridgemont High and the entire Look Who's Talking franchise.
With John Travolta and Kirstie Alley?
The very same.
The Talking Babies?
The Talking Baby franchise.
Those are wild movies.
I know. So good. Kirstie Alley. Oh, I love. I forgot about her.
I love Kirstie Alley.
We love. This is a pro Kirstie Alley podcast.
Unless she's done
allies.
Unless she's done something in the recent past that we don't know about yet. Don't tell me.
I hope not.
Kirstie Alley got canceled.
Problematic.
I hope she's uncancelable.
Do you want to know some more trivia about this movie?
Yes, please tell me more.
I found a lot of really fun trivia while I was looking up, like, some details. So
please,
again, the director's name is Amy Heckerling. And to write this movie, she sat in on a bunch of classes at Beverly Hills High to get, quote, a flavor of the students. So, like, what were their interests and, like, what was their dialect like? And so that's why it's such a unique... That's why the dialogue is so unique, is because she basically, like, sampled, like, she's like, what are kids actually saying right now? So I think that's a kind of a nice touch, because you know how many movies we watch where you're like, what 75-year-old white person wrote this?
Hoover it.
The finger is so off the pulse on this. Hoover it. Yeah, Hoover it. Or what is it? Look at copacetic. The bobos on Super Freak.
Oh my yeah, god.
The worst, arguably the worst line in history.
I would agree with you. The bobos.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. I don't know. Seems pretty bad.
That's really cool. That piece of information about look at Amy Heckerling doing like putting in the work.
Oh, let me see. I'm gonna Google her.
No, what? I mean like going you just, to I thought actual
you were,
classes.
You were saying that she was like kind of serving in some photos you found. Okay.
No. I don't know what she looks like. I was just saying like putting in the work of actually going into high school classrooms and listening and doing research, proper research, instead of just being like, kids would say this.
Kids say copacetic, right?
Kids 100% sure. Say copacetic.
Sure. Sure. Okay, I'm going to give you more trivia until you stop me.
Yes, do okay. it.
Okay, here's a good one you'll like. Reese Witherspoon auditioned for Cher.
Oh, sounds about right.
Yep.
This is 1995.
Not it, obviously.
Obviously not.
Who is what? Give me. I can't. Wow, I can't recall the name of the actress who actually plays Cher. What's her name there?
Alicia Silverstone.
Okay, Alicia Silverstone did not audition. She was kind of handpicked without auditioning. So sorry,
did
Reese.
Did she do something before this?
She was in a movie with the guy who plays Wesley from The Princess Bride.
Oh,
which was kind of a. It was kind of like a horror thriller version of. Lolita.
Okay.
Yeah, it's I watched it and I was like, I don't know how to feel about it. It was not bad. I just okay. It was weird.
Interesting.
It was just like a psychological thriller.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not what I was expecting.
I can't remember if there's other stuff she had done as well. I just can't remember what it was. That was like the big
one. Yeah. She is. Okay. So I will say when I was younger and I watched this movie, I was not paying the closest attention to what it was actually about or what it was based off of. I was just like, this is a silly teen movie. And I'm a young person who reads books and takes herself very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always, like, looking down on Clueless, and then I watched it and was like, oh, no, I actually like this. But I still hate it out of principle because it's girly and, like, internalized misogynism. Mm-hmm. You know the.
And
you
then
know
you
how
found
you
out it was an adaptation of Emma and your brain broke.
Yeah, and then I found out it was an adaptation of Emma. My brain broke. I was like, oh, my God, so many conflicting emotions within me. Yeah. And then have watched it multiple times since and been like, you stupid young Catherine idiot.
Don't beat child self of you up.
And your stupid prejudices. Yeah, no, you're right. She was taking herself very seriously and was not anyways, just didn't pay attention, I guess. Only things on her mind, Harry Potter and Jane Austen, and that's it.
Yeah. I remember posting on Facebook as a status update. Oh my God, did anyone else know that Clueless was an adaptation of Emma? Because I was the one, I was like looking in the mirror. I was Clueless. I didn't know. I didn't know. And then this girl, this sticks in my head till this day. I posted that because I was so shook. So I had posted it on as a Facebook update back in the Facebook days. Well, I know Facebook still exists. I just don't use it.
I got you.
But I had posted that and I was shook and I was like, did anyone else know this? This is so crazy. What a fun fact. And this one girl who I went to high school with commented, yeah, anyone who reads the IMDb page knew that. And I was like, wow. Okay. I'm not going to forget that. Okay. I'm going to remember you did that. Okay. That little snarky moment. I don't know. It just really stuck with me to this day. And I was like, oh, okay. I was just having a moment of like genuine surprise and I just wanted to share it. And she was like, yeah, anyone who reads IMDb can tell that. And I was like, oh, okay. Cool.
Bitch, shut up. We're teenagers.
We're learning.
We're literally children.
Can I just say that there's a special circle of the afterlife for people who see other people having joy and then kind of like swat their hand down.
Yeah.
So just watch it, you people. Yeah.
Just like
that
guys,
is one of my pet peeves.
Yeah, just let some people have it, you know? Have yeah. like what they're enjoying. As long as they're not hurting anybody, you can tell them at a later date in a gentler yeah. way than Damn be like me. Anybody who fucking looked up the movie, read the first head. Sorry, it doesn't say on the poster or on this on the cover of the DVD case from Blockbuster, okay?
You know what? There's actually so many things about this movie that I did not know until I, like, rewatched after watching a whole bunch of other movies and being like, oh, this movie's actually really smart. It's actually, like, has a lot of references. Like, there's yeah. a reference to, there's a bloody reference to 2001 A Space Odyssey in this movie.
I know. I wrote that down, too. And, like, one of the dialogue, speaking of, like, the dialogue mm-hmm. things, she says mere ducats, which I'm pretty sure is, like, a Shakespeare, like, a thing that they... Ducats is a money in Shakespeare
type? Yeah, for sure, dude. Saying mere ducats is not like to be taken lightly. That is definitely meant to be something.
I will I don't love
what's the
how
one, what's the pound of
fractured question? Merchant of Venice. I don't Merchant love how fractured my sentence was when I was trying to explain what I was saying. My thoughts were just too fast. But yeah, like so many again face value, you would think that this is just like a basic kind of teen movie, silly, frivolous, whatever. She has an entire closet, like
the computerized closet.
Computerized closet.
So many people.
Oh my god, the computerized closet, and like the fact that it operates the way that like a laundromat does, where it's just like
right
on rails and that it's just like motorized and moving like this so that she can pick it quickly.
She basically was making herself into a randomized sim. She was clicking the button and letting the computer choose her outfit.
I would take that today.
Yes.
I would do that ever since I saw it when I was younger, I was like, hell yeah. I want this.
Absolutely. I would love that. Have all your clothes cataloged and photographed.
Yeah.
So funny.
It's a freaking an organizer's dream.
There's a lot of references to this movie called Gigi from the 50s that came out. And I hadn't seen Gigi until like maybe recently. And then I rewatched Clueless. And then I was like, oh, this feels like it's a reference. So I Googled it and it definitely was. And Gigi is this story about this young girl who is like coming into her own. And there's like this young man who is kind of like a friend, confidant figure who like starts falling in love with her. And there's a lot of parallels. So there's a lot of parallels between the characters in Gigi and Alicia Silverstone and
Paul Rudd.
I was gonna say Paul Blart.
No.
Wrong.
Don't do that. Not to my Paul Rudd.
But like, yeah. Anytime that like soaring music played, you know, when she's like standing in front of the fountain.
Yeah.
That was like a reference to Gigi.
Ugh. Even watching it recently for the podcast, I just realized more and more things that I really love about it.
Same.
It's just so good, man. So, so good. Obviously, yeah. It has its things, but...
Yeah, that was going to be my next thing, is that there's definitely... Okay, so, like, this is, aside from a few errors or flaws or things that wouldn't fly today, this movie is pretty good.
Yeah.
It has a flawless soundtrack marred only by the one ska interlude.
Oh my god.
Which I can forget.
Interlude. Yeah.
I can forget
it, because it's the 90s. So it's the 90s. You gotta have some ska.
Also, the montage that it opens up on as it plays Kids in America is a total mess, but
oh my god.
I think they were kind of going for that because like it's total mess. But then she goes, "What is this? A Neutrogena ad or something like that?" And I was like, oh, okay, so that's the joke. So it's a mess on purpose. Okay, word. But were you also confused about... Okay, let me give like a little bit of backstory to anyone. First of all, as with any episode that we have, if you haven't watched the movie, go watch the movie because this is going to be spoilies. But this is the story. This is the story of a young girl, our protagonist, Cher, who has a little friend group in high school, and she... is very vapid, doesn't have a lot of goals in life, but she a few things happen to her that make her consider her role in the world a bit more. She starts being a bit more serious about life and taking things on to try and be a better person and improve the world around her, give back. And then it's the story of her growth throughout that process. It takes place in LA, so she's a very young, privileged teenager. All her friends are also young and privileged teenagers. They all go to Beverly Hills High. They drive Jeeps.
They drive Jeeps with, like, learner's permits.
Yeah.
Her dad bought her a car. Her dad bought her a car to learn on.
Yeah. So that's how you know they're rich. They're rich. Also, when that one scene where Paul Blart takes all of the meat out of the fridge and the ham is, like, perfectly individually hand-folded in this gigantic, like, bin, and I'm like, oh, they're rich, because that looks like a freaking deli.
They have, like, I noticed this too this time. They have, like, industrial sized fridges, like fridges for that you would have in, like, a restaurant. And the deli container that he takes out of the thing, like, that's how Subway stores their deli meats.
Why do you need so much?
And I was like, okay, if he's what's his name in the movie? Josh. Yeah. If Josh isn't there, it's Cher's dad.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say daddy, because that's all she calls him in the movie. She only calls him daddy, and I get it. She's his daughter, but I just, especially in the tone that she says it, I just can't.
Your voice broke.
I did.
You just couldn't take it.
I couldn't. Oh,
that's too much. Yeah.
But
at least she doesn't say it in, like, a... She says it in the least offensive way she could say it. Like, to us now.
Yeah.
It's like... It's just a very, like, plaintive teenage daddy.
Yeah. Yeah, so if it's not Josh who's staying there eating all the food, it's just Cher's dad and Cher. And then Lucy, the housekeeper, who I don't imagine is eating that much, like, deli meat.
Yeah.
And then besides, like, Lucy, I know that there was reference to the gardener, but I don't imagine that he lives in the house with them.
And when they had that big meeting with all the lawyers, they got takeout.
And they got takeout with all the lawyers. So it's not even like the dad is constantly bringing all the lawyers to his house, like, working from home situation. Like, they have big offices for that. It's just... It just, like, this time I'm like, why is it, like, a Subway container full of meat and, like, it's because industrial fridges?
Literally, to me, I'm like, yeah, today I look at that and the context is Subway, which is not very luxurious, but to think that someone went in and hand-rolled each of those pieces of meat, like, Lucy's really in there hand-rolling the meat and putting it in the fridge just so Josh can come and have a little
Josh sandwich. Can get his little fingies together. His little 17, 18-year-old fingies in there. My God.
How old is he supposed to be in this, by the way? That's the genuine question for me.
This is another thing. Because I know, in real life, at the time, Paul Rudd was 26 when he filmed this movie. Ooh. And, yeah, and Alicia Silverstone, I think, was, like, actually in her teens.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I think because they never really say, I think, like, contextually, I assume is going into, like, his first year of college.
Okay.
Because they keep talking about college. He's either going to his first or second year. But to me, because they were having conversations about where he was going to go to school, it seemed like he was going into his first year of college, or he was going into, like, law school or something that wasn't his undergrad, but I don't imagine it was that, because...
He was anywhere between 18 to 22.
Yes.
Or 23.
Yeah. I think on that spectrum, closer to the younger age, I think.
Yeah. So, just for reference, this is a romance movie, obviously. You know... Cher's love interest changes a few times. When I was watching this as a kid, because they said that this Josh guy was in university, it did not cross my mind that he would be a love interest for Cher.
That he would
because
be
as
end,
a
kid,
I'm watching game. It when I'm 16 or whatever, and I'm thinking, this old guy, no thanks, you know, you know. And then, I mean, clearly that's the way Cher was thinking as well, because she didn't even consider him until all of a sudden she was like, holy shit, I love Josh. Not, I don't know why I added that accent.
You're know. Really seeing Reese Witherspoon in there, yeah. as, instead of Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah. Well, it, yeah, so it's like, there is definitely a delta in their ages, which is like objectively not great, because you know, at the very youngest, you know, 2 year age gap, not that big of a deal, still not legal technically. yeah, so she's just saying, so in the end I'm gonna assume he's older than 18. I was assuming he was around 20 or so. We'll give him the benefit of the average age there. Still illegal.
Very no, still illegal. Still, like, watching this back, it's just like, I think at the beginning of it, she's 15 or 16. She has to be 15 or 16 for sure, because you only get you're only able to get like a driver's permit, I think, in the US when you're 15.
Mm-hmm.
So she hasn't even like taken her driver's license test yet. So she is walking around a 15, 16-year-old mm-hmm. with a categorized closet. Mm-hmm. And her friend is dating someone in their high school. Her best friend is her best friend. What's her name?
Dion, played by Stacey Dash.
Amazing. Is dating a high school boy. And just Cher, the arrogance of Cher just walking around and being like, ugh, these high school boys, disgusting. Animals. I like me. Animals. Look at them in their baggy pants. I love me a college boy or older. And when you're younger, when you're a teenage, like from the ages of like 11 to 16, when you're watching this movie, you're like, hell yeah, I agree. Older boys, love it. Yep. Watching you're it now, you're sitting there
with your socks with individual toes in them and your t-shirt from Baby Gap. Licenza girl t-shirt. And you're like eating your popcorn and you're like, you tell them, Cher.
You tell them, all of the pop stars I like are definitely older than me, so I don't see a problem in an older guy. I know that's
right.
And then watching it now and just her being like 15, 16 talking about older guys, I'm like, no, a predator.
Yeah, sweetie.
Cher, don't let them get you.
Cher, no. No, don't do it.
Yeah, so like those aspects of the film don't necessarily like live up, mm-hmm. and you forget for a long time because of the way, again, this is like a thing for teen movies, because we saw this in She's All That, and eventually when we watch what was the movie I just had in my head? Eventually when we watch like Mean Girls, like teen movies, they're always adults playing teens.
Mm-hmm.
It's never really actually teens, and so that's why they don't feel that bad making them sexy, but you just like, you're making like sexy stories with children,
you know,
supposed to be for children or about children.
Yeah, it's like, so, I kind of get that. If you are marketing towards a teenage demographic, you want them to see themselves. But this movie could have easily taken place if they were of college age and not high school age.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. That would be a change I would make. It's just like, I don't know if it's just because now we're like far removed from high school, but
yeah.
Just like, it is hard to hear. It doesn't live up as much. That like she's in her sophomore year and she's only looking to date college guys.
Yeah,
you know,
she definitely has this kind of like persona. Her persona is like that fits with this character. Character is one line that was so funny to me was when she explicitly said, so up until this point in the movie, they're throwing around a lot of slang. It's very like, you know, very like informal. They're just chatting. You're kind of getting the lay of the land. And then she says the line, I felt impotent and out of control, which I really hate. And I was like, that's freaking funny, bro. Because she's like, I mean, this is a really great way to show the parallel between this and Emma. because it's just Emma, right? So it's like that is literally something she would write in a letter. And then she so you've got Cher, who's this like kind of control freak perfectionist character. It's I can't believe I never drew the conclusion to Emma, because it's like a mirror. The two of them are like they're very much parallels. And a lot of the characters are direct parallels to characters in Emma, except for Dion. There was one that you could like kind of say, but I think they wanted to give her like a best friend, which really worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and do you want to know another piece of trivia?
Yes.
Paul Rudd initially auditioned for the role of Murray, Dion's boyfriend, because he thought he was like a white guy who thought he was a rapper. Basically.
Oh my god.
That's how he played him. And then he got Josh.
What I would give to see that him play that role of a white rapper.
Right.
Beside this beautiful black woman.
Yeah.
But I love me Donald Faison. Faison? Mm-hmm. Faison?
I don't know. I was hoping you would know how to pronounce his last name. I've never heard it
said. I think it's Faison.
I think Faison is the most obvious solution.
Yeah. He's so funny in it.
I know. Oh my god.
Also, one of my notes is at the beginning when a guy puts his arm around Cher and she's wearing her like iconic yellow outfit, mm-hmm. and she pushes him. Yeah. I laugh so hard each time because she pushes him so hard.
Yeah.
So hard. It always said, "Get out makes of here." me laugh. He's so happy to have his arm around her and she just shoves him. It's the best. It's hilarious.
Get fucking wrecked, dude.
Oh man.
They do one. I feel like I just need to get it out of the way, because it's like the only other thing I don't like about, like, I love this movie.
Yeah.
But I do not like how, as a product of the 90s, they very much make disordered eating like the butt of a lot of jokes. And it's like, in that, I feel like it was so not a problem to do that in the 90s, because it's like, it was very much like, you know, it's the height of diet, it's culture, so like supermodels, super thin supermodels, the era of, does this make my butt look big, you know, that kind of stuff. So I'm just getting it out of the way. I did not like that, and I'm only going to talk about things that I like now.
Yeah, I didn't like it either, especially like when she did have her lines where she was like, I feel terrible, I had a handful of this and a handful of this and like this, and I snacked on this. I'm like, also, Cher, that's called you being a teenager.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever seen teenage girls eat? Like, this is not at all to shame girls. I mean, even not even teenage girls. Have you ever seen, like, women eat?
Yeah, dude.
But especially teenage girls. Like, I was one. I've been around teenage girls.
You're growing.
You're feeding your brain. Your hormones are...
You feeding your brain. That is the tagline.
Okay, your hormones are like, brain. Your hormones are like doing what they do.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I want something sweet. I want something salty. Like, it's just me hearing that line. I was just like, girl, you're just describing like being a teenager.
Yeah.
And shoving your hands into like fruity, like boxes of sugary cereals, and then taking a handful and being like, that's enough of that cereal. Let me move on to the other cereal. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. It's true. But I definitely had, like, times, less so now, but when I was a teenager, definitely times where I would be ravenous about something until I immediately wasn't.
Yeah.
You eat, like, 8 things, but only, like, 2 bites of each, and then you're like, that's enough. I'm full. And then 5 minutes later, you're like, actually.
Like, tell me.
Actually, no, I still do that. Oh my god.
I know. I was gonna say, in what world do you that less?
I never grew out of it.
But anyways, yes, definitely something that's so pervasive in the film and so pervasive, like, in the 90s, is the diet culture.
To the point where they think that Brittany Murphy is supposed to be like the chubby one.
Oh,
they make
my
a point
god.
Of being like, she's Rubenesque. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? This chick, and what? This little baby.
The tiniest woman.
The sweetest, youngest Brittany Murphy with the curly hair. Oh,
with the funniest, so sweetest little accent. Ugh.
Oh my god, I loved. Love.
And Cher. My buns, they don't feel nothing like steel.
oh shit, you guys got coke here? Well, yeah, it is America. Great lines. Anytime Ty opened her mouth, I was like, this is going to be a treat.
It's so good. I used to like, again, I think it was just me trying to hate this movie, but then really enjoying it.
Secretly,
just like, oh, why do you like this? I think I just didn't like Ty before, but then I just see how sweet, like, Brittany Murphy is, and I think I just didn't like that she was so rude to Cher.
Mm. You mean also, that one how scene?
How funny is that line? How funny is that line where she's like...
Is it the one?
Yeah, oh, it's yeah. The one. Where she's like, you're a virgin who can't drive.
Why am I even taking advice from you? You're a virgin? Virgin? Why was I starting to
virgin.
English? You're a virgin who can't drive.
The way Jane Austen wrote it herself.
No, there's got to be another way.
Also, okay, so...
Hermione lines now.
So, I really like that Cher is smart. She's not just like... Yeah, she's, like, debating her grades. So, she does this thing where she'll get, like, a C- in debate. And then she'll go and haggle her grades because she was... Her father's a lawyer and all she knows is how to haggle and how to not take no for an answer, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like, she goes up to the painting of her mom and she's like, look, mom, a 98 in geometry. Bro, a 98? In math? Please. That's insane. She's a, what a smart cookie.
Homegirl's got a little brain in there.
And then I and did write...
the little sheer, the tartan skirts and the sheer really long top under a tiny vest for some reason. You know really which outfit
long...
I'm talking
oh,
about.
Oh, yes. Really
failed,
long top
failing
under
the driver's
tiny...
license scene. That is a whack outfit.
I love that outfit, though.
The shoes were cute. The bag was cute. The top was way too long. The top was longer than the skirt.
I know, but do you think that it works because it's sheer? Are you just mad that it's a vest?
I don't like the proportions. Mm-hmm. That, like, it just, there's, like, the blouse to vest ratio is, like, 3-1. It's a lot. I actually like vests.
Oh, yeah, you wear vests. I just like the long shirt. And I like that it's sheer and you can see, like, her skirt through it.
I like it sheer.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I think I also equate that scene because it is where she realizes that she's in love with Josh. Mm. And I really like that. Yeah. So talking about, like, not being able to see, not even considering Josh an option, because I genuinely, when I first watched this movie, never thought that Josh was an option. Mm-hmm. I just thought he was
and
supposed
I don't
to be
know
the
how
older
we didn't
brother.
See it because now when you're watching it and there's that one scene where she goes on a date with Christian and you get the close up on Paul Rudd's puppy dog eyes watching her leave and you're like, oh, this is a setup.
He's trying to do work. He's trying to do work and, like, sees her walking down the stairs and he's like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then sees her, like, go on a date with this guy and then is trying to, like, do work and then tells the dad, like, he like, can't do it. He's, like, fidgety and unfocused. And then to the dad, he's like, you don't need me. I can go, right? Yeah. I can, you don't need me here.
The dad's like, get lost, you crazy kid. Do you think that the dad knew all along?
He did, because also a thing I noticed after he did that, he had a look.
Mm, he did have a knowing glance.
He did have a knowing glance, and I was surprised by that. Like, again, even watching this movie now, things surprise me. It's in Swain. Sorry. I shouldn't have done that when you were drinking. Okay,
no better than to make jokes when I'm drinking water.
I know, I'm so sorry. Okay, some lines
I
wrote down.
I am going to do a spit take. It's going to happen. I'm just going to lean into it one day. Not when there's a lot of expensive equipment around me, but
no, not when the equipment. One day in, one day in person, just to really prank me.
Yeah, I'll really lean into it to get some good clearance.
Yeah,
some good air.
So one of the lines, one of the phrases I wrote down. So I obviously already brought up Mere Ducats. Mm-hmm. That's a smart reference. And then someone says Major Boink Fest. And that was funny but upsetting to me. Boingfest, hilarious. But awful.
I love how you're reading this off your phone right now and your face is so serious. This is like a review of the phrases. Very upsetting, but 8 out of 10, kind of funny. Moving on. Ranked.
What else did I write in here? She said something about Cliff Notes when she is trying to set up her two teachers to get better grades, which is a thing she does, which is so funny. Also, the fact that she another 90s thing is about like an unhappy, miserable woman is the way that she is because she hasn't been dicked down. So the second she starts dating someone, she's gonna be a happier
all of a sudden she starts wearing lipstick and a jaunty scarf, so you know.
She's getting laid.
She took off the cardigan, so you know.
Yeah.
And that's all you need to know.
Yeah. But yeah, so she...
You should be able to fill in the rest.
Cher writes a fake admirer's note and is reading this poetry, which is, I think, a real thing. I forgot to look it up. And then Dion's like, oh my God, where's that? Did you write that? And... or where is it from or whatever? And Cher's like, oh yeah, I got it from Cliff Notes.
A very famous author,
Cliff Notes.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of really clever references. There's like a reference to Twin Peaks, which, I mean, that was pretty topical and pop culture at the moment. There's literally one point where she says, I'm having a Twin Peaks experience, which I'm like, I don't really know what that means. So I looked it up and apparently it means a surreal or confusing moment. And there's also a reference, there's this one moment where they're like, Josh picks her up from that party right after the iconic scene where she gets mugged and she has to lie down on the ground wearing the Aaliyah dress. And then Josh comes and picks her up and Josh has his college girlfriend with him in the car, okay?
Oh my God, so funny.
And they're having like a little fiery debate about something about Hamlet. Like, yeah, and then so
it's about Hamlet and who said, yeah. Yeah.
And then she goes, it's Hamlet. And Cher's like, no, it wasn't Hamlet. And the college lady is like, actually, I think I know. And then I think I know Hamlet. And then she goes, I think I know Russell Crowe or something.
Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson. And she corrects him. And then you see this shot, which is a funny reference and also shows that Cher is smart. And also you see they give you this one shot of Josh looking at her in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
And that is why everyone is in love with Paul Rudd. That shot right there. That is the energy. That's it.
Yeah. I've been trying, not avoiding necessarily, but I'm just like, I can't only talk about Paul Rudd. Because I love Paul Rudd so much.
Girl, let it out.
After I realized I love Paul Rudd and then went back and, like, kept watching this movie, I was like, oh my God, this is exactly what I want. Mm-hmm. I want a white boy to bicker with.
Didn't you achieve that goal? Good for you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, Here we are, pursuing our dreams.
to begrudgingly fall for me and just be like, ugh, yes, I like her.
Fine.
Yeah, Paul Rudd is so good in this movie. He's so good.
The scene, I wonder if it's in his some kind of contract of him with him that he has to have like a crazy dancing scene in every movie.
I was just
where he just flails like a salmon going upstream, but with Peace and Love. Like, I love that.
Oh, I love his dancing. Dancing is so sweet.
Yes,
so sweet.
Speaking of dancing. Oh, sorry, go ahead. Yes. I can bring this up after. I can segue again after. Don't worry.
Okay. Speaking of that scene where he's dancing with Ty in the club when Cher is on a date with Christian, did you like Ty's outfit of her, like, overalls and that blue blouse?
Look, I am a fan of overalls, but that was giving me a little bit of, like, preschool student.
Yeah.
I didn't like the color combo. It wasn't very nighttime. Cher was wearing a white Calvin Klein, like, spaghetti body dress.
Yeah.
And also Christian was obviously dressed to the nines as well. He was giving Rat Pack. And then you see Ty, who didn't come with them, but somehow showed up at the same party wearing, she borrowed the outfit that her little sister used to go to the park on the weekend.
Yeah. I was like, why is this 12-year-old at this club?
Yeah, she was having a hard time. It was a challenging moment. Ooh, ooh, ooh. That was a really ugly noise. I'm sorry. I have some stats for you about the fashion. Yes. Of the movie. Oh my there God, were okay. 63 outfit changes throughout the whole movie, but the entire costume budget was only $200,000, which is incredibly low. Yeah. And there were 53 different types of plaid worn throughout the movie.
Amazing.
Yeah.
53?
Yeah. Fashion moments.
Good Lord.
A little shout out to Mona May, who was the costume designer.
Mona May?
Yeah. She was like, we love a resourceful queen.
We do.
Diva on a dime, right?
We love that. Was that the thing you were going to say?
Actually, no. The thing I was going to say was, like, can we talk about the party that they go to in the valley?
Oh, my God. Yes.
So funny. I love this party. There's, like, so much going on. They're smoking dope. Dope. I just turned into, like, a Midwestern mom. They're smoking dope. Marie is shaving his head, and it causes a fight between Dion and Marie. Cher gets a tiny bit of a drink spilled on her satin shoe and freaks out. And they manage to, in a beautiful parallel to Emma, work in a fainting scene. I love that.
Oh my God.
They did. I don't know. She gets hit in the head. Does Ty get hit in the head or something?
Ty gets hit in the head by a shoe, a clog that goes flying across the room I'm pretty sure it was a clog. This girl is dancing so hard on the pool table with Elton.
Right.
Who then flings her head back and her feet come up and her shoe flies off and hits Ty on the head. And then it's a big ordeal.
Yeah.
Okay. I love Cher's outfit. I think it's amazing. I think it's a hit. But this is a party in the valley, Cher.
I know.
You were looking down at it. And then you show up to this party. You wear little red satin shoes. And then you get mad because what's the skateboarder's name? In my head it's Ty.
In my head it's Travis.
It's Travis. It is Travis. Is it really Travis? It is Travis.
Oh my God.
Good job.
I have a mind like a steel trap. Yep.
Okay, so and then Travis spills the tiniest bit
geometry.
The tiniest bit of beer on her shoes.
Yeah.
And she freaks the fuck out. Bro, everything you're stepping on is sticky as hell.
But literally, I would never discourage someone for dressing for the party they want to be at. Yeah, she was a little overdressed, sure. But, you know, it shares nothing if not aspirational. I gotta admire that.
I get her instinct too, but then don't like get mad at the fucking skateboarder dude who's literally jumping on people for spilling the tiniest bit of beer on you, you know? Because then she makes it like a big thing and I'm just like, Cher, come on, enjoy the party. I was surprised that she took a hit off of that.
The dope.
The doobie joint.
The weed cigarette. I saw it too.
I was surprised. She was so casual about it.
I smelled it through the screen. She was so casual. And then she was like, but then she was disparaging. So yeah, she was like, the stoners smoke weed all the time. You can spark up at a party, but do not be regularly smoking weed or else you'll end up like these burnouts.
Oh, Cher.
But this is her character, right? They have to establish that she is condescending and, she has a superiority complex.
Yeah, you're right. I forget it's all for her purpose.
It's all for the gag.
It's all for her growth later.
It's all to roll with the homies.
My God. What did you think of Elton?
Elton is...
Did you know that he liked Cher? I did. He was looking at her all the time.
He was egregiously and aggressively flirting with her. I made a note about it.
And touching her all the time.
Yeah, he was constantly... Did I write a note about it or not? I just thought... What are my even thoughts on this? Oh, yeah. The way that Elton was hanging off her and kissing her was aggressive. To the point that she considers herself this, like, worldly... a knowledgeable person, and she couldn't tell that the guy who she was quote-unquote friends with, who was literally like hanging off of her body and like smooching her in the middle of class, and she was like, oh, silly Elton, we're a...
yeah,
and then she was like, and then she was like, no, I'm ch- I ch- after this party in the valley, he drives her home and she says to him, I really want to see you settle down.
Oh my god.
A 16-year-old is saying this to another 16-year-old. I really want to see you settle down. And that was her way of trying to convince Elton to date Ty.
I know. When I forgot that's what she said to him. And then when I watched it recently, I was like, settle down for what?
Queen. For what? Good
for
what?
For 6 months?
Ugh. Yeah. Cher. Until the end of sophomore year, anyways.
My God.
And then he ends up dating... Amber, who they're so disparaging about throughout the whole thing. They're so mean to Amber, and even they did her so dirty with her hairstyles throughout the movie.
Yeah, man, her, they made her look 50s like hairstyles.
Bro, do you remember those, like, they weren't Polly Pocket dolls, but they were something like Betty Spaghetti. That's what it was. She looks like a Betty Spaghetti, dude.
Yeah.
You're but, like, wrong. Unpopular opinion, she did have some of the best outfits, though.
She, Amber, did what her heart desired. Yes. And I appreciate that, you know?
She was it's wearing a lot of fluff and feathers, which was a good thing.
She was wearing a lot of fluff and feathers. They really were, like, you know how you're always, like, fashion comes back around? In the 90s, I guess, like, 50s fashion was back in. She was leaning really heavily on the 50s fashion. And I was like, that's a lot, but good for you. But again, they were so mean to her, but also Amber was not that nice to them. I just, like, don't get how they
I think it was a two-way street. I wonder, like, what started it. I don't know, just mean girl tactics, antics. Mm. I want to show you
It's just like Amber's the other white girl who, like, occasionally wears the same outfits that Cher does, and that is the point of contention.
Look at this Miss Piggy moment that she's serving at the wedding. Tell me that's not a look.
Oh my god, at the wedding.
Yeah.
It's so good. Like, it's so good. Doesn't she look like Lana Del Rey?
Yeah, she does. She looks like Lana Del Rey pretending to be Jackie O.
Oh, yeah. After the party in the valley, Elton drives her home and then makes the moves on her, which shares... Mm-hmm. Has every right to walk up, like, get out of the car for, because he just, like, kept, he didn't even park in a parking spot, he was just, like, diagonal.
Yeah. I love how your qualm with this is that he didn't even park well. he just
pulled up,
he just sweeped in and just skirted in and just kind of haphazardly didn't even park, and then he's trying to put the moves on and she as ifs him and she's like, no way, not into it. And then, like, gets out of the car. He's like, can we get back in the car, blah, 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 drive you home. And she's like, no. And then he speeds away. And she's like, shit. Because then she pulls out her cell phone and gets mugged. And then she doesn't have a cell phone. She doesn't have any money. So who does she call? Jorsh. She has to call Jorsh.
A.K.A. Josh, Paul who Rudd. Was about to do the getting hot and heavy with his college girlfriend.
Yeah.
And she interrupted something. And they both wear black, which is very funny.
Yeah.
I love how, like,
where,
I love how,
You know those artsy girls from the Goofy movie?
Yes.
You know, who wear, like, berets? That is what the college very, students, like, in this movie dress like.
That's the very, like, 90s, art, like, house. Intellectual, art house, artsy type, poetry slam going, Jackson Pollock loving, cigarette smoking bitches.
Yeah. And now that person just has a nice coffee and says, breakfast. That person still exists.
And has blue hair.
Josh then, comes to pick her up, and then they have that interaction,
which is so sweet. He's literally about to do the deed with his college girlfriend or whatever person he's seeing, squirrelfriend, and he goes and picks up Cher in the valley because she's been mugged and robbed and held at gunpoint and got her Aliyah dress dirty. Aww. So sweet.
Poor Cher. But it's really the least he could do. If your friend was molested by a high school boy in his car and then mugged at gunpoint, would you not go pick them up? I'd be like, yeah, I would.
Oh, yeah, I would. I'm just glad that he did also and he's not a monster and he's like, okay, give me 5 minutes.
Yeah.
What else? She's so cute in this movie. I really like Alicia Silverstone. I think it was like the best choice. Mm-hmm. And especially like during the mugging scene, she's so funny.
Yeah.
So funny. And so like exactly who the character is, exactly who Emma is, to be literally like faced with a gun and told to get on the ground, and her biggest concern is getting dirty this Aliyah dress. Mm-hmm. So good.
Just I think that funny. Actually Reese Witherspoon and Alicia Silverstone they have a lot of like the same things going for them. They both do that role of like kind of a little vapid but also very smart, like at moments, just like being able to run the gamut of that spectrum while also being very funny. I think that Reese Witherspoon's version of it is a little sharper.
Yeah.
A little bit more East Coast. And then Alicia Silverstone was giving us LA. You know? She was giving us a little bit dreamy, a little bit kind of like a little bit she always carrying Starbucks. So much Starbucks.
That's really well put. Oh my god. The little Starbucks card at the end where she's literally drinking a short. I'm like, what are you drinking? Can't be black coffee.
Espresso? One espresso?
Oh yeah, probably espresso. Two espressos, please.
Where's that from?
No, I just imagined her ordering it.
Oh.
I just can't imagine. Because, like, the Cher of today would not be just drinking espresso. Espresso is very much just, like, a 90s thing of, like...
What would the Cher of today be drinking?
She would be drinking something with... she would either be drinking coconut milk or almond milk, not oat milk, because oat milk has a lot of calories and carbs, and she wouldn't.
Right.
Definitely she just something.
Wouldn't go there.
She wouldn't. It would probably be like it would be like a caramel macchiato if she wants coffee, and then if she didn't want coffee and she wanted, it would be like the strawberry coconut drink.
Yeah. I think she would try, what's that new one? The new one that's like almond beverage. It's like a espresso shaken beverage or something.
Oh yeah. That's with, that's with oat milk. There's one that's with oat milk. And then the other one is just like a shaken espresso, but with like regular 2%.
The reason I brought it up, nothing to do with Cher. I just tried it the other day and I liked it and I wanted to say that.
It is really good. I didn't expect to like it. Because sometimes the new drinks are not my fave.
Yeah, and oat milk is also, I mean, trash, so.
Controversial
opinion.
Do not do this to yourself.
I might get smoke for it, but I'm an almond milk drinker.
You will.
That's what gives me these big yolks.
You will get smoke for it. I will get smoke for it. And I can't talk about this anymore.
You knew it would come up eventually.
Oh.
I had to.
That's what I think Cher would drink now. But yeah, so much Starbucks around this movie because obviously it's
what would
the
Christian
90s.
Christian drink?
Christian would drink a tall black Americano.
You're right. Oh my god, great segue. Let's talk about Christian.
Yes. Did you?
I would love know, to.
Did you know that he was gay?
No.
Neither did I.
I was very sheltered, very Catholic household growing up. Did not know of the homosexual very much. No, I didn't know. Also, it was very subtle. Like, they'd really...
It was very subtle.
It was subtle. Okay, so they have one point where he is reading. He's reading a book. The book that he's reading is, like, a very, like, well-known queer novel. I did not know this. I found this out from reading trivia about the movie. And also, mm-hmm. when he comes over with movies to Cher's house, the two movies are Some Like It Hot and Spartacus. Apparently, both of which have either a queer actor, well-known queer actor, or queer themes, okay? Now, mm-hmm. I didn't know any of this, but those were just little, like, breadcrumbs for us.
Yeah.
And then the scene where he's talking to the bartender and the lady tries to hit on him.
Yes.
Now, before, I didn't pay attention to what he was saying to the bartender, but you can kind mm-hmm. of hear him say, he's like, he's kind of flirting with the bartender and he gestures to the woman who was hitting on him and goes, "What am I supposed to do with that, right?" And then, like, leans in. So it's kind of like he's flirting with the bartender, blah, 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 whatever. So it's like there's a few subtle hints that you have to really be paying attention to mm-hmm. until the part where Murray goes, "Oh, no, he's gay."
I love that Murray was the one who told them.
Yeah.
These two girls. I love that he was like, you guys don't know that he's gay.
Apparently everyone else knew.
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised by it as well. And even then, like, except for Murray saying it, Christian himself never says it. And Cher never mm-hmm. really, like, asks him. She just, like, kind of, and she doesn't, like, get mad at him, which I appreciate. She doesn't do any of the things where she's, like, guilting him or whatever. Because, like, mm-hmm. that's been seen before in movies where a straight woman will, like, get mad at the gay guy friend she made because he doesn't.
It was nice to want not to sleep see with that. Her. It was nice yes, to it was, see
what a
it
treat.
Was nice to see a healthy relationship between that mm-hmm. dynamic where typically they always go for the drama and they try and make it as you know as terrible as possible the fallout.
Yeah,
yeah, but yeah, he is a short king.
He is a short king.
He's really
I love his
rocking up.
I love his
he
dancing.
He walked into the classroom with the confidence of a 6'5" man, all packed into a little pocket rocket. And we love Christian. The way he entered the classroom is the only way I'm gonna enter rooms from now on. With like he like slings his jacket and like leans up against the door frame. And there's like music God. Playing. Where do I park? Something like that. He says something. Oh my God. I was like, I love this character. The theatrics.
The drama. The
theatrics of it. And then Cher's dad chirps him later and he's like, "What did Sammy Davis Jr. die and leave a vacancy in the Rat Pack?" Like he was making fun of his style. Because he was definitely like, that was like his look, right? That was like his
yeah.
aesthetic.
Again, very 50s.
Yeah. Like that was, I thought it was interesting that they didn't just give him. I don't know. I feel like they could have gone a lot more obvious ways and they gave him, like, they gave him a personality. They gave him personality through his style, which yeah. is cool.
Yeah.
Like, he was
yeah,
obsessed really... with, like, all that retro stuff.
Yeah, I think he was obsessed with, like, the way that I read it now is that he was obsessed with, like, the 50s actors who were probably queer but never came out.
Mm-hmm. Rock Hudson type
so he. Yeah, so he was, like, emulating them because... It's not, I don't think he's, like, denying anything, but he also, he never confirms it himself. Cher never asks him. He never, mm-hmm. when he notices she's hitting on him, his move is to just, like, leave and not be like, "Honey, I'm gay."
Yeah.
Also, that scene where she's literally trying to seduce him when she, mm-hmm. when he's like, "Hey, let me come over and, like, let's watch some cassette tapes." And she's planning, like, how to lose her virginity to him. And she's mm-hmm. planning the lighting. And she throws the roll of cookie dough into the oven. And she's just doing the most. And the way that she's, like, really putting the moves on him when they're both trying to, like, watch the movie. I was like, the confidence of this girl to really snake mm-hmm. her foot up his ankle.
As we've established, Cher has the audacity, if anything.
She does. I just,
she's
like...
bold.
like, I know it's a movie, but so many times, especially, like, to think these
teen movies where... Yeah, because they're literally high school. They're supposed to be high school students. To think of that, like, that reality. It's just, like...
It's just so weird. The reality
of what high school students are actually like.
Yeah, I just think of, like, myself as a teenager and, like, other people I knew as teenagers. And, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't sexually active as a teenager, but, like... I don't imagine any of it kind of started by, like, by, like, snaking your foot up someone's ankle. Well, clearly didn't go, work are for you okay? Share. Are you okay? I'm just, my feet are cold.
He just smashes a pillow on her feet. There!
He's like, there you go. I did it. There you go. Now we can watch our my movie in peace.
Yes. Please pay attention. This scene is very good.
Yeah, what happens after that? Okay, so we talked about her being mugged. We talked about the Aaliyah dress. You like the Aaliyah dress, obviously.
Yes, the jacket, no, the dress, yes.
The jacket with, like, the feathery
The jacket shoulders? Featuring the Party City boa wrapped around the collar. Yeah,
that
was
okay. Yeah, that one I was like, you could have not done that. Her yeah. Calvin Klein white dress with the sheer.
Very cute. Love that moment.
Very
love
cute. That. Where she's like, Dad, I'm gonna put something over it. My God. And it's fucking sheer. So funny.
I love it. Of course.
So oh good.
God, yeah, no doubt I'm gonna put something over it. I feel like we have talked a lot about, like, the cool characters and the fashion. But we should maybe, like, should we, like, talk a little bit more about the actual, like, central romantic plot?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So okay, yes. This is what I wanted to talk to you about. I did want to talk to you about whether or not you liked this romance. The last episode we did, the last movie we did, you liked everything in the movie except for the romance mm-hmm. part. How do you feel about this romance? And we've already talked about, like, how it's not great, obviously, that he's older and she's a teenager. We get that. Mm-hmm. We know yep. this. Besides that,
barring the age issue, I loved it because yes. Alicia Silverstone, Paul Rudd, what's not to love? The dynamic between the two of them is so, like, organic. It's a little bit antagonistic. It's not enemies to lovers per se, but maybe, like, no. slightly antagonistic. Like, maybe, like, what is a milder version of enemies? They have, like, they're, like, mildly antagonistic to lovers. Like, we love that trope, right?
And but we do.
That dynamic felt really, like, natural in this context. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. the way that they started off as being kind of, like, she kind of, like, made fun of him for being this, like, older granola, like, super woke college dude. And he kind of, like, looked down on her as this vapid, you know, shallow high school student, and then slowly by them spending time together, she starts to realize that she likes the quirks about him. And he doesn't explicitly say it, but you kind of understand that he is going through the same arc of
yeah.
realizing that all these things that he thought were maybe annoying or whatever, he actually has, like, come to love. And
yeah.
she has a very literal montage moment where she is trying to retail therapy her way into feeling better. And she starts thinking about all the things that are annoying about Josh. And, like, but then it starts to, like, turn into, like, oh, and his, like, cute face and floppy hair and blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, oh, my God, I'm totally bugging. I am in love with Josh. And then she's like, and then literally the fountains go off in the background, the music from Gigi plays. And then she goes, so it's, like, it's very much, like, a linear progression of, The best part of it is that you are very much along with them for the ride because it's not so obvious that it's going to happen the whole time. They're just giving you breadcrumbs. Yeah. And that's what I liked about
they
it.
They are giving you breadcrumbs.
They yeah. were trusting the audience to put the pieces together.
Yeah.
Or even if they didn't, even if the audience didn't put all the pieces together, they read the groundwork that was being laid. And then when they were explicitly told, oh my God, I'm in love with Josh, you go, oh yeah, because of this, 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 and this. So it's just, yeah. It was just well written. It was a nice pace. And I just liked the interactions between the two of them. They were cute. They were like semi-realistic. You know, they had good banter. They were sweet. They were sweet. And they were just nice to each other in the end.
I agree with everything you said. First watching, like we were saying about how we didn't see the romance with Josh coming, because I think it was something I wasn't paying attention to it, or I didn't put that much like credence into things that I notice now, where you have shots of him looking at in the rear view at her because she said something funny, and he like, he's surprised at the fact that this teenage girl teared his like college girlfriend's ass a new one in the Shakespeare department.
It was kind of a moment of like, oh, maybe I underestimated you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then like he was having, he was having more and more moments like that.
Yeah. And the fact that they both had that together kind of synchronistically, that made it feel like a very level playing field for the two of them. Yeah. And that is a feature that I like to see in a romance. I don't like to see a power imbalance in a romance. I just don't feel good about it. If you see something like what we like this dynamic, I think it's really makes you feel good to watch it, because you feel like you can have faith in that going forward, I guess, because like extrapolate it, maybe. I don't know, maybe that's my
So yeah, I was gonna bring up the points where I didn't really notice them before, but then seeing it back, watching it back now, it's like, oh, these are all moments where Josh is like, where Josh and Cher, they have their separate moments where they are realizing like more and more things about each other. So like Josh has it when she says the thing about Hamlet and Polonius, and he also has a moment when she's trying to make Ty better, and he like is about to walk into the living room but then stops and is watching her like teach Ty a new word and how to use the word in a sentence, and like to read books every week.
I liked that moment, that little like, I like that moment, adding a shot too of him pausing and like observing them really added so much to that scene.
So much. And then just like seeing that him watching her like actually like be motivated about things bigger than herself was very nice, and seeing that like progression. And then for Cher, like for her, she's seeing that he showed up to the club that they went to and is like being nice and like dancing with her friend when he knows that no one else is like dancing with her. I can't remember specifically what other moments it was. For her, I think a lot of hers were just, like, when they interacted together instead of him, instead of her kind of, like, watching him.
Yeah. My thesis is that because she has made a point that she likes to debate, the witty banter going on between her and Josh were her moments. She just didn't realize it at the time.
Yes. That's very good. That's very well put. Yeah. And I really like when characters are like, ugh, this person's so annoying. And then they just look at it a little bit closer and they're like, oh.
They're like, oh no.
Oh no, I actually like them. And like her, that whole montage is so good. Because the reason why she's upset is because Ty had come to her. And after like a week, some time has passed since like Josh danced with her at that club, Ty goes to Cher and she's like, okay, well, you tried to set me up with Elton. That didn't really work. And now I'm over him. Also, Ty had like a box of things that reminded her of Elton. Yeah. And like they never really went out and we never really saw them interact. And she's like, now I think I'm finally over him. I was like,
which is so funny, but it also mirrors the dynamic that character had in Emma, where she was like, Emma, I can't remember what the character's name, who she was trying to set up.
I don't know. I'm not as familiar with Emma.
Emma, like, really builds up her expectations in the book. So I think that was meant to be a callback. Because I remember
Cher,
watching that.
Yeah, which Cher does, too. Yeah, Cher does do that, too. She's blowing so much smoke up Ty's ass in regards to Elton. It's insane. So then Ty goes up to Cher, tells her that, like, now I think I like Josh. I'll go for Josh. What do you think about that? And, like, Cher gets so upset, doesn't realize why she's upset. And that is chef's mm-hmm. kiss to me. I love mm-hmm. that. Yeah. And then she has her whole montage where she just is like, what would Ty even do for Josh? He doesn't.
Why would anybody deserve even, like, her? His ugly pants and stupid opinions.
His stupid opinions and his nice green eyes and his nice brown hair and nice smile and how, like, he can be thoughtful. The sweet
things that he says and how he's really thoughtful and smart. Oh my god. Like, wait, the scene when like she comes back to the house, I can't remember what happens. Basically, she has this big long montage where she kind of makes amends after she has that moment of like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I feel like totally at a loss. Mm-hmm. I need to be doing something better for the world. She kind of goes about her business. She joins this charity initiative with Miss Geist. And then Geist. She like does this charity campaign. She makes up with Travis, the skateboarder dude. She kind of like has like a nice moment with him. He invites her to the skateboard show. I don't know. And then she shows up and then Ty's there. So she has the opportunity to make up with Ty as well, which is really sweet. And I loved it. And then they're friends again. And Ty kind of has this moment with Travis and all is well with the world. And she goes back to the house and Josh is there. And they have this moment.
So cute.
Where they're sitting. Oh, it's when that other lawyer yells at him. And Josh is like, you mm-hmm. get out of here, and like defends her. And then she's all sad because she thinks she messed up one of her dad's cases. And he's like, no, that guy was stupid. He was the one who messed up. Basically, let me make her feel better. And then I don't remember exactly how it turned. Oh, yeah. He says something about like a pretty girl like you, and she goes, oh, so you think I'm pretty? And he's like, and he does that face that's like, stop that.
Yeah, it's so cute. It's so cute. He's like, yeah, you know that you're pretty, okay?
Yeah. And then there was like this one part where he's like babbling at a certain point because it starts getting very much like into the meat and potatoes of like them having the conversation about they like each other. And then he says something about like, oh, you know, no, it's been really good. She's like, am I the reason that you stayed? And he's like, no, it's been a good learning experience. And he keeps saying it. No, it's been a very good learning experience for me. She's like, yeah, you already said that.
That scene is
very heartwarming.
So cute.
So cute.
So cute. And like,
and then they smooch.
And then they smooch. She like pushes him, but then he grabs her and he smooches her.
Oh my god, a playful moment where she is like roughhousing and then it turns into a kiss. Oh my goodness. The ultimate oh my goodness. Mild enemies to lovers.
I have nothing more to say except that I really like this romance. It is like top tier, one of my yes. favorites now. Yeah,
agreed,
definitely up there, like just well-rounded movie.
Yeah, I would say 9 out of 10. Amazing aesthetics, great writing, great pace and plot. Only we lose the mark for the kind of insensitive of the moment things. They also drop the R word at one point, you know, that kind of stuff.
Oh,
that
loses yeah.
them one mark. The one ska song really hurt them. But other than that, great movie.
I also wanted to talk about like Dion and Murray's relationship, because you see mm-hmm. it at first and you're like, why are these two people together? Like, this is so childish or whatever. But then it's just like you get to see she actually observes them and how they're being so sweet to each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're being so sweet to each other. And even like you think the entire time you're like, Dion, you're too good for this guy. Like, this guy is trash. Is trash to you. But then he isn't. When she calls him out on like saying woman at the beginning, and then he goes into the whole thing about like, this is what I actually mean, woman, and it's not derogatory and blah blah blah.
and she's charmed by it. And then when
he also teaches her how to drive, which is nice.
Yeah, when they're on the highway and she accidentally gets on the when they're driving and she accidentally gets on the highway, and the way that he like tells her what to do,
and then talks and then
her down, her and yeah. talks her down and comforts her. Like, that's very sweet. And then they're sharing the sandwich later. And, like, you get to actually see that they are very sweet to each other. And, like, you've all known couples like that where they're all, like, bickering. Not even bickering, where they're just kind of, like, always, like, kind of, like, fighting. Mm-hmm. But then really, in private, or when they're not looking, or when they're not being, like, judged or looked at or whatever, they're just being very sweet and loving to each other, when in person people are like, you guys love each other. Like, no, gross, I hate him.
Yeah, classic asshole to the world, sweetheart to his girl trope.
You love, love this it. Trope.
I don't know. I love it so much. So much.
I love it, too. I mean, I can't deny. Who am I going to lie to?
All 50,000 of our listeners. Yeah, that's a real number.
No, we got that's stats, not a number. We
100 million. Oh my God, Dr. Evil, is that you? I can't stop thinking about Austin Powers lately. It was on TV the other
day. Is that a rom-com?
Technically, at least the first one, yeah.
Which one's the first one?
Is the it one just called Elizabeth Austin Hurley? Powers?
Oh.
Let me look it up. It might be called the
only one.
I think The Spy Who Shagged
Me. The Spy Who Shagged Me?
Are we really talking about this? Let me pull it up. I'm pulling it up.
The only one I really remember is Goldmember, and that's because Beyonce's in it. Actually, not just because of Beyonce, gold. But it's the one I reference. It's the one that's in my brain the most.
Yeah.
Also, the actor who plays Travis, I know him from being the white guy who owns Garfield in the Garfield movie. I think also he's very cute.
He is in something else. And also the guy who plays Elton was the dad in Suburgatory, which is a great show if you haven't already seen it. Great show.
No, I've never seen that show. I've heard about that show. Okay, I was going to ask you if you found Elton cute. There was one point where he was wearing a big knitted sweater and he looked like an Irish fisherman. And he had big, messy brown hair. And I think they were posing at the fountain.
My answer is going to completely depend on how old he was when filming this movie, so I'm going to look it up. Okay, so it was 1995. His name is Jeremy Sisto. Okay, 1995. Can I get a DOB?
Can I get a DOB?
I'm doing this. I'm doing the footwork right now.
Good, do it.
Born in 1974. So, by that math, he was 25 when they filmed, and yes, I did find him attractive. Yes. He was very cute. He also very attractive still. He's a very attractive man.
Is he? What's his name?
Okay, you should... It's Jeremy Sisto. You should watch Suburgatory. It's very, very funny. I think it's such an underrated show. I think there was only 2 seasons, but...
Oh, I know this guy. I didn't know this is. Oh, I didn't. I know this actor's face, like grown up version of him, more than I did him as Elton. Like, I just didn't put the two together, but now I see it in his face. Whoa. Any final thoughts on Clueless?
Overall, I mean, there's so much more we could possibly talk about, you know.
There is like, so much more.
This is a great movie. One of my favorites on the master list of all the rom-coms that we decided that we want to talk about when we first started like brainstorming this podcast. This is one of my favorites because of the smart references that it makes, the clever writing that gives credence to the audience to put pieces together and not be kind of dumb and put, you know, just gives credit to the audience. The great cast, the fashion, and just the way that it captured, like, the zeitgeist of that time.
Yeah.
Huge fan of this movie. It stands up in a lot of ways still. How about you?
Yes, I agree. Everything that you have said.
Dope.
Everything that you have said, plus emphasis on Paul Rudd, because...
Oh, yes.
The beginning
asterisk of Paul Rudd.
Yeah, the beginning of his empire? I don't know. His monopoly on, like, sweet, mid-sized white men.
Approachable.
Approachable, funny, non-threatening. We love it. We love to see it.
Yeah.
That's it. Those are my final thoughts. Because you said everything.
We are of one accord, and that is it. And the podcast is over.
Molly, where can they find you on the internet?
Right. So you can go find me at Molly the Witch on TikTok or at molly.mca on Instagram. And I also have a link tree if you want to see any of my other projects and things that I'm working on. But mostly just links back to VomCom. So you're here already. How about you, Kat?
You can find me at It's Catherine Ram on pretty much everything. I'm not that creative and no one has ever taken that name. So luckily for me, it's on everything. You can also find VomCom's Instagram at VomCom Podcast.
Plug you should check out.
Yeah, I also have another podcast called You Should Check Out with our friend Jason. Yeah.
It's really funny.
Thanks so much. The laughs we have.
The jokes we have. The laughs.
That's it. I love this movie. I love you. I love everything.
Me too. Great vibe. Great vibe to end it off on, Kat.
Great vibes. Okay, bye, friend. Okay, love you.
Ciao, bellas.
I am fond of you, you know.
And a girl?
I often wish you weren't such a stinker.